don't know why you let your friends drag you to this party. You feel absolutely zero urge to join them on the dance floor. And the pounding beats are giving you a headache. You decide to leave the main hall and go look for a quieter spot. You encounter a sign towards a jazz lounge with a bar that offers delicacies. That does sound promising. So, you make your way there. The music in the lounge is tasteful and, more importantly, quiet. And the room is dotted with comfortable-looking sofas. This is more your style. You walk over to the bar. At first, pleased that there's no one ahead of you. And then, annoyed because the bartender is missing. There's a note indicating they will be right back. So, you lean against the counter and settle in to wait. One of the sofas is right next to the bar, and you glance at it. There are a bunch of people standing next to it, gathered around a woman sitting on the sofa. You take a better look at her, and you understand why she has an audience. She's gorgeous. She's wearing a black sequin dress, and it glitters with every movement she makes. Every time you try to look away, it draws your eye again. You notice she's wearing a curious piece of jewelry around her neck, some kind of large medallion, resting in the middle of her cleavage, a golden pentagram with a large blue gemstone in the center. You have never seen anything like it before. But what really draws your attention when you look at her are her eyes. You can't see what color they are exactly, and she never really looks your way. But you can still tell there's something special. You realize you are staring, but she either doesn't notice or she doesn't care. You are so close that you can't help but listen to what she's saying. And it's almost enough to kill all of your interests. She claims to be a witch and is educating everyone around her with her knowledge. She's prattling on about the effect of the phases of the moon on magic, the potency of various crystals and other nonsense. And the people around her are nodding along and making appreciative little sounds, as if she's dispensing profound wisdom, rather than the older New Age mumbo-jumbo tribe she's actually spouting. You have to admit that her voice is really unpleasant to listen to, but the things she's talking about are getting on your nerves. To make matters worse, the bartender's definition of right in the be right back would only make sense to some long, extinct species of sloth, and you are getting seriously fed up. It's all bullshit, you say, just loud enough so that she can hear you. There's no such thing as magic. You don't know why you did it. Maybe you just got too annoyed to control yourself any longer. Maybe you just wanted to piss off Miss Expert Witch. Or maybe you just wanted some of her attention. She turns those amazing eyes of hers on you, and it's like you're struck by lightning. Unhurriedly, she gets up from the sofa and makes her way over to you. Oh, really? She says, raising a single perfect eyebrow. How about I prove to you that magic is very real then? Just give me 10 minutes and I will cast a spell on you that will leave no room for doubt in your mind. You are taken aback. You are not sure what you were expecting her to do, but certainly not this. What? Right now? You stammer. Right now, she replies. Not right here, though. I need a bit of privacy for my demonstration. You ask her what her spell is supposed to do, and she waves your question away. Why do you care? Isn't it all bullshit anyway, right? 10 minutes of your time. Are you in or are you out? Your throat is suddenly dry and you swallow. 10 minutes alone with her? 10 minutes of her undivided attention. You would be stupid to say no. You agree. She grabs a couple of unlit candles from a table nearby and puts them in her evening bag, then leads you out of the building. You follow in her wake, trying to ignore the hostile looks and jealous stares of people all around you. It is a beautiful night. The temperature is pleasant and the light breeze feels wonderful. The moon is nearly full, and there are just a few clouds in the sky. Your companion leads you onto the lawn surrounding the property, away from the people and the noise. Eventually, she appears to be satisfied and stops you. She seems a little nervous. Look, she says, it is not going to work if you try to resist it. So, if all you want to do is humiliate me and have a laugh at my expense, go ahead. But nobody's going to see your little stunt. A brief smile crosses her lips. Why do you think I wanted to do this somewhere private? She continues, looking at you earnestly. If some part of you is actually curious if magic is real or not, why don't you cooperate and let me prove to you that it is? And I so very rarely get to practice spellcasting on someone who doesn't believe in magic yet. It is always much more of a challenge. And it is a good opportunity to hone my skills. She gets close, resting her hand on your chest, right above your heart, and it flutters. I would really appreciate it if you cooperated with me. You think she's going to end up disappointed. No matter what she's trying to do, there's no way in hell that magic is real. At best, she might be able to delude herself into seeing what she expects to see. And you guess you could try to pretend to be convinced. You promise her that you will cooperate, and she rewards you with a happy smile. It gives you butterflies in your stomach. She wets her finger and holds it up in the air, then declares that Jupiter is ascendant, whatever the hell that may mean. She indicates a spot on the grass and asks you to lie down on your back, with your feet in the direction she specifies. She takes some kind of powder out of her purse and starts spreading it around in a pattern that you suppose makes sense to her. She places the candles around you too then, and the analytical part of your mind notices that most of them just happen to be upwind from where your head is supposed to be. She smiles up at you, saying that incense works better, but that she makes do with what she has. You go lie down on the spot she indicated, pleasantly surprised at how comfortable the grass turns out to be. A sense of surrealism fills you. Here you are, alone with a beautiful woman you have met not even 20 minutes ago, getting ready to get a spell cast on you that she refuses to elaborate on. Wearily, you muse that it's very convenient for her that she can reveal what her spell does, supposedly after she's finished with it. She lights the candles, sprinkling another powder from her purse into the flame, and the smell of lavender fills the air. She's explaining what she's doing, something about spirits and guidance, but frankly, you don't really care at all. She does have a very pleasant voice, though. As you take a deep breath and relax your muscles, you think to yourself that all this might be bullshit, but it is a very enjoyable bullshit all the same. She comes to sit next to you and takes the medallion from around her neck. She explains that she uses it as a focus for her magic. And again, you really don't care. But it is nice to look at, and the way the moonlight plays on the gemstone creates an interesting effect. She tells you she's going to get started on her incantation, and you nod. Apparently, that means she's going to start spouting gibberish in Latin too. But you have to admit that it does sound good when she's speaking it, and the tone she's using now, it is so soft and soothing. There's just something about it that just calms you right down. She keeps talking, alternating Latin and English, and it strikes you again just how lovely her voice is. It doesn't even matter that you don't understand half of what she's saying. You just enjoy the sound of her voice. And as you're lying there on the soft and comfortable grass, you look at the stars high above you, at a cloud that's idly drifting by, at her medallion swaying gently in front of you. You feel content, at peace. You focus on her voice, and she keeps talking to you in that wonderfully soft and soothing tone. And at some point, you find yourself gazing at the medallion dangling above you. She might have suggested something to that effect, but you are not sure. But it is a fascinating piece of jewelry. The way the gemstone catches the moonlight, it is captivating. You can't keep your eyes off of it. You doubt it's got anything to do with the spell of hers. But you do feel good, calm and relaxed. You try to focus on what she's saying, but her words are all starting to blend together. You let her voice wash over you and let your thoughts drift. You feel so, so very good. And a little drowsy, too. Your body feels heavy and languid. A wave of sleepiness hits you. And you close your eyes for just barely a moment. You open them again and refocus on the medallion. She says something in Latin with an air of finality, and the medallion disappears from your view. It seems like she's finished with her spell. She offers her hand to help you from the grass, and you take it. Your stomach flutters. Her skin is soft and delicate and perfect. She is just perfect. How do you feel? She asks. You try to keep your amusement from showing on your face. This is the part where whatever you feel turns out to be caused by her spell. Still, she asks you a question, and so you should answer her. You pause. How do you feel? Your muscles are sore from lying on the ground, although you do feel pretty relaxed. And you are pretty sure you have a massive crush on her. But that's nothing new. You are still the same. Everything is still the same. It is kind of disappointing. You think it would make her happy if it had worked. That it would make her smile. You love seeing her smile. You briefly consider making something up. But you can't lie to her. I'm sorry, but I don't feel any different, you admit. It looks like your spell didn't work. We will see, she replies. She sounds amused, and an odd smile tugs at the corners of her perfect mouth. A couple walks right past, accidentally kicking away one of the extinguished candles, but you barely notice them at all. You only have eyes for her. She glides close to you, and you catch a whiff of her perfume. It smells like lavender, and it makes your head spin. My spell was supposed to make you feel a certain attraction to me, she says, her incredible eyes twinkling with mirth. You don't get what's so amusing to her. Is she mocking you, or is she flirting with you? You tell me. Did it work? Do you find me attractive? You laugh uneasily. That's cheating, you say. She grins. I find it usually gets me what I want, but I do appreciate your cooperation in my magical endeavors. She puts a hand on your shoulder and leans in, and your breath catches in your throat. Why don't we go somewhere a little more comfortable, so I can show you my appreciation properly? She is flirting with you. She's definitely flirting with you. My car isn't far. We could go to my place and practice some more magic if you want. Yes! You nearly shout the word. Going home with her? You have never wanted anything more. She smiles brightly. Well, come along then. You walk behind her, a happy spring in your step. This is the best day of your life. Not only did the most beautiful woman in the party flirt with you, she's taking you to her place. You might even get lucky tonight. Just wait until your friends hear about this. Oh shit, your friends are still at the party. You tell her that you want to run back to the party real quick, to let one of your friends know that you're leaving. And she frowns. I don't think that's a good idea. If we go back, I might just end up staying there. That would be a pity, wouldn't it? Yes, you definitely don't want that. This kind of opportunity comes around once in a lifetime, and you are not going to squander it. Your friends will understand. Besides, you can just send them a quick message. Your hand goes to your pocket and... Where's your phone? You had it a moment ago. You ask her if she's seen your phone and she laughs. Did you forget? It is in my purse. I had to hold on to it. Technology interferes with magic too much. Oh, you guess you can trust her with it. But it is strange that it slipped your mind that you gave it to her. Well, could I have it back? You ask. Later, she replies. When we are in my car, just follow me. What? Why won't she give it back now? You start feeling uneasy. Why are you following this admittedly gorgeous stranger to some unknown place without telling anyone? That sounds like a good way to end up losing a kidney. What the hell is wrong with you? You stop. Or rather, you try to stop. You actually just keep walking. What the fuck? You exclaim. She turns around, a mocking smile on her face. What the fuck is going on? She did something to you. Anger and adrenaline floods your system, and you take a threatening step towards her. It feels like you are pushing through molasses, and the idea of doing her harm makes you feel ill. She just smirks at you, as you stand there fighting your own body, your legs trembling. What the fuck? Puffball, she says, and your thoughts fall apart. What were you? Be quiet and follow me. You blink and follow her as she walks away. After a few steps, your thoughts start racing again. She must have some kind of hold over you, making you obey her commands. The Lord only knows what she's planning to do with you. You need to get away from her, but you just keep following her like a lost puppy, simply because she told you to. You're getting close to the parking lot, and you see it's nearly empty. Like the party's already over, but that doesn't make sense at all. Luckily, there's still a couple of people around. Help! You need help! You draw a deep breath to shout for help, but no sound escapes your lips. She told you to be quiet. You desperately try to think of a way out of your predicament, but nothing comes to mind. You get to her car, and she tells you to get in, to fasten your seatbelt, and to sit still with your hands on your lap. You obey her commands like a robot. She starts the car and drives off. You try to move your body, but it doesn't respond. It is like it belongs to someone else. She told you to sit still, and so that's what you do. After a few minutes of silence, you consider that you had to be quiet, not that you couldn't talk at all. You try whispering. What did you do to me? Her head whips around, surprise evident on her face. She looks you over, looking tense. Then she relaxes and laughs. Isn't it obvious? I bound your will to mine. She tucks a stray hair around her ear and continues. I didn't manage to do it properly, though. I had to do such a rush job. I didn't expect anyone to come that way so soon. She smirks. Such a pity. The spell was taking hold so well, too. Still, I got control of your body, even if your mind still appears to be mostly free. It will do just fine for now. She chuckles and shakes her head. You gave me a scare there. I can't believe you are already starting to shake it off. I wouldn't be surprised if you broke free again in a couple of hours. If I weren't going to spend the time redoing and reinforcing my work, that is. You don't try talking to her again for the rest of the trip. You arrive at her house. She parks the car and gets out, once again commanding you to follow. She opens the door and walks into the hallway, then turns around to look at you. Welcome to my lair, say the spider to the fly. She quips. She smiles at her own wit, but it leaves you distinctly unamused. Oh, don't you worry. I keep my promises. When I am done with you, there will be no room for doubt in your mind. We will have plenty of time for a proper do-over here. She tells you that she's going to get some things ready and to wait there. Flashing you a lightning-quick smile, she turns around and walks away. You turn to watch her leave, your feet seeming glued to the floor. Then it hits you in a sudden flash of insight. Wait here, she said. She didn't tell you how long to wait. You just have to wait until she leaves the room, and then you can make a run for it. When she gets to the door, she seems to change her mind. She turns around again and comes back, standing in front of you. Her eyes rove over your face. You keep it carefully blank. What are you thinking? She asks, a soft smile playing on her lips. You can feel the compunction to reply, the words bubbling up in your throat. You are fucked. You latch onto that thought with all your might. I am fucked. You sigh. She narrows her eyes at you, and then her smile becomes sharp. Tell me what you're thinking, she commands. Now that is no longer a question. The only thing you can do is obey. Your mouth is already forming the words before you even realize it. You didn't tell me how long to wait. I only have to wait a few seconds. Treacherous mouth! Stupid, treacherous mouth! She smiles wildly. Now that is a major oversight on my part. Thank you for telling me. She's pleased with you, and that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. You hate the feeling, but you feel it all the same. Wait here until I get back. In fact, don't move until I get back. You feel all of your muscles sizing up, and she chuckles. I suppose it shows that it is my first time enslaving someone quite like this. No, don't you worry. I am a quick learner. And with that, she turns around and walks away, her high heels clicking on the wooden floor. She's going to turn you into her slave. You have got to do something. The best you manage to come up with is violence. If you could knock her out before she gives you another command, maybe you stand a chance. A good, solid hit to her solar plexus wouldn't hurt her, and it should leave her winded enough for you to escape. Probably. You think you read something like that somewhere anyway. She returns, wearing slippers and what looks like a silken nightgown of sorts, the loose fabric clinging to her body and accentuating her curves nearly as much as his dress did. And as soon as you lay your eyes on her, you can feel your muscles unlock again. You subtly shift your weight, getting ready to pounce. Not yet. You have got to wait until she gets closer. You only get one shot at this. I figured I might as well slip into something more comfortable. I assume it's going to take a while before I get your stubborn ass properly conditioned. She's walking over to you, carrying some sticks and smiling broadly. Then she stops, her brow furrowing in puzzlement. What are you doing? She asks. Shit! What gave you away? You have to move! Tell me what you're doing, she demands. You have to move, now! You feel yourself starting to respond to her command, and sheer primal terror floods your mind. Your fight or flight response kicks in, and it decides to fight. With a wordless billow of pure animal fear, you launch yourself towards her. Her eyes widen in alarm, and she shouts for you to freeze. You stumble, but barely onwards. She shouts for you to freeze again and again, panic evident in her voice. You almost manage to reach her, and then your muscles size up. You're face to face with her. Her beautiful eyes are wide with fear, and you can see shock written all over her face. And then you see it slowly make a way for cold fury. I am going to make you regret that, she hisses. Go sit down on the sofa and don't move a single muscle. Her voice trembles with barely contained rage. You go sit on the sofa, and she comes to sit beside you, roughly pushing you into position. She unclasps the medallion from her neck and dangles it in front of your face. And it finally hits you. What she's doing isn't magic. It's hypnosis. She's going to hypnotize you. She must have hypnotized you before too. You squeeze your eyes tightly shut. Open your fucking eyes and look at the medallion, she growls. Your eyes fly open and you do as you are told, your eyes tracking the medallion as she swings it back and forth. The fact that she tricked you earlier makes you angry. If she thinks she's going to manage to hypnotize you just because she can force you to look at the swinging pendant, she's got another thing coming. She shifts to that soft, soothing tone that she was using earlier, but you tune out her voice, playing one of your favorite songs on repeat in your head. She keeps talking on and on and on, and you just keep focusing on the song in your head, until with horror, you suddenly realize that some of the lyrics have become wrong, changing into something you imagined she'd be saying to you. Her words are slipping into your mind. You redouble your efforts at keeping her out of your head, trying everything and anything. You think of playing games, books you read, movies you have watched, but no matter what you try, she keeps popping up in your mind. And it's happening sooner and sooner every time you are forced to try something else. You are losing. And then, to your immense relief, she grows frustrated by your resistance and gives up, returning her medallion around her neck. Stubborn bastard, huh? She hisses. And then, her voice turns deceptively sweet, and it scares you so much more than her anger. Oh, but no wonder. You are all pent up. Don't you worry. I know exactly how to relieve your tension. She gets up from the sofa, leaving the room and returning with a stoppered flask. After setting down on the table, she comes to stand in front of you. She lifts her nightgown over her head and lets it drop to the floor, revealing lacy black lingerie. The sight of her nearly naked body makes your cock twitch. She takes off her medallion and drops it on top of the nightgown on the floor. Look at me, she says, before you can even consider that you should be looking away. She runs a single finger down her cleavage, then leans in and whispers, "Do you like what you see?" You can't lie to her, and you sigh out a reluctant yes. She runs a hand over her groin, tracing the length of your cock with one finger. It stiffens in response to her touch. I thought so, she whispers into your ear. I bet you would just love to come for me. But you shouldn't. I am a witch. If you would come, I would steal your soul. You would become nothing more than a mindless, obedient zombie. She caresses your cheek, and her touch sends shivers down your spine. But I am sure it won't be a problem. All you have to do is not come. Her voice is full of malice. So, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. You don't believe much of what she's saying, but you have no doubt that letting her make you come would not end well for you. That if you don't manage to resist her, you're going to lose your mind right here and right now. Please, you implore her, a last desperate plea for mercy. Don't worry, she replies, flashing you a cruel smile. You are not going to come. She puts a single finger under your chin and tilts it up, forcing your gaze away from her breasts towards her face. Don't come, she commands. You consider begging her again, but her face tells you it's pointless. She lets go and steps back, and your eyes seek out her breasts again on their own accord. With slow, sensual movements, she removes her bra and lets it fall to the floor, revealing her breasts in their full glory. You are transfixed at the sight of them, even before she orders you to keep your eyes on them. She starts slowly running her fingers over her breasts. As she arches her back and flaunts her body, she picks up the flask from the table, unstoppering it and pouring out a small quantity of the contents over the top of her chest. It looks like some kind of oil. She takes in a sharp breath and then spreads it over her upper body in her amazing breaths. Damn, that's cold, she breaths. Look at my nipples, getting all hard. She circles her nipples with her forefingers, going around and around. You are completely mesmerized. She stops tracing circles, roaming her hands over her chest instead, and you blink, trying to shake the cobwebs from your mind. But my nipples aren't the only things that are hard, are they? Her words make you painfully aware of your cock straining in your pants. Oh, look at your poor cock, she pouts. All cooped up like that. Why don't you take it out? Take it out, she says, rephrasing her question as a command. You obey and pull your throbbing cock out of your pants. You can feel your face flushing and your ears becoming hot. And she chuckles. It briefly occurs to you that you are in serious trouble, before her breasts enrapture you once again, and it becomes impossibly hard to think about anything else. She keeps caressing her breasts, fondling them, rubbing them, and slowly tracing the contours with her fingers. Your eyes are glued to the show she's putting on, partially because she ordered you to look at her breasts, and partially because they are so magnificent that you wouldn't want to look away if you could. She sits down on your lap, facing you, straddling you, and your heart jumps. This is such hard work, rubbing in all that oil, she whines. Won't you please help me? You open your mouth to reply, but she speaks again before you manage to say anything. Put your hands on my tits and rub in the oil, she commands. And you obey. You put your hands on her tits and start gently massaging them, slowly and lovingly. You caress her breasts, rubbing in the oil, kneading it in. She lets out little moans of pleasure, and your cock pulses in response every time. Her skin is so soft, and her breasts feel so nice in your hands. You'd never even dare dream that you would ever get to touch her like this. Your cock's throbbing so hard that it's physically painful. She puts her hands on yours and guides them towards where she wants you to do a more thorough job. Even with your hands already on her breasts, the feeling of her hands on yours makes your spine tingle. After a while, she seems satisfied and tells you to stop, and that it's time to clean off the oil. Use your mouth, she says. Show me how much you love my breasts. As you lean in to obey her latest command, you are hit with the overwhelming smell of lavender. It makes your head swim. You start licking and kissing her wonderful breasts, and you are rewarded with small little gasps of pleasure. In between, she manages to tell you to take deep breaths. Your mind goes fuzzy, and you stop thinking about anything other than worshipping her breasts. You are brought out of your reverie when she pushes your head away from her chest and tells you to stop. The words seem hazy, and you feel dazed, like you are in a dream. You are beautiful like this, you know, she says. Just pity my hands. She laughs. Look at how wet it is making me. She holds a finger in front of your eyes, slick with some kind of fluid. Your eyes have trouble focusing, and your lust-addled mind doesn't have a clue what's on her fingers. But it smells divine. Open your mouth, she says, and you do. She brings her finger to your mouth, and you lean forward and take it into your mouth. You start sucking on it, greedily, hungrily. It tastes like the sweetest nectar. She laughs again and pulls her finger away. But look at you, she teases. Your cock looks like it's about to burst. Her voice becomes syrupy sweet. Would you like me to stroke it for you? Your lust battles with what remains of the rational part of your mind. You don't want to answer her. You don't want to face it. Tell me, she snaps, and the compulsion makes it impossible to deny it any longer. You do want her to stroke your cock. You want it very much. You want her to touch you. You need her to touch you. You want to feel her delicate hand wrapped around your shaft. You want her to pump it, to stroke it, to squeeze every last ounce of pleasure from your throbbing cock. Oh God, you hate it, but you do. You do, you do, you do. Yes, you say. Her smile is cruel. Then beg me for it. The thought of trying to resist the compulsion doesn't even occur to you. You beg. You plead. You implore her to please, please, please stroke your cock. She puts a single finger on your lips. Shh, she says. Don't say another word. I will, but only because you ask so nicely. She picks up her flask again and pours some oil into her hand, rubbing them together to warm up the oil. Then she lubs up your shaft, covering it in a thin film of oil. She tells you that the oil is special, that it greatly enhances your sensitivity, and you believe it. Her slightest touch sends jolts of pleasure coursing through your entire body. She takes your cock into her hand, and your mind nearly whites out with bliss. And then she starts actually stroking it, and in possibly, it starts feeling even better. Look into my eyes, she says, and you don't have a choice. Your eyes meet hers, and your mind very nearly plummets into their depths. Somehow, you manage to catch yourself just in time. She deftly pumps your cock, gliding her hand up and down the shaft. She's an expert, and the pleasure nearly drives you insane. It builds and builds and builds and keeps building. You want to close your eyes in a futile effort at keeping the feeling at bay. But you can only keep looking into her eyes. It feels like they're drilling into you, piercing you. I need you to submit to me, she says. Some distant part of you realizes it's the last thing you should ever do, that you have to resist. But her eyes... You have to submit, she insists. Her eyes... You can't. You have to submit. If you want to come, you need to say you submit. She insists again. She keeps expertly rubbing your cock, and wave after wave of pure ecstasy crashes into you. And you can't handle it. It's driving you mad. You need this pleasure to stop. You want to squirm, to pull away from her maddening touch, to curl up and protect your sensitive member from her relentless stroking. But your body won't move an inch. You can't take it anymore. You need to come. You whimper and moan with sheer mindless need. But she's merciless. She keeps steadily pumping your shaft. You need to say it, she says, completely unperturbed. You will come when you say you submit. No, you need to... Oh, God, her eyes! Submit, she commands. You need to submit. You need to tell her that you submit, so you can finally come. But you can't! You can't! Your mouth just won't form the words. You strain against her order not to speak, but all that escapes your lips is another moan. You need to. You have to. You need... I submit, she prompts. Say it. Her order finally breaks the dam that's been holding you back. I submit, you cry, and you explode in her hands. You come, and relief washes over you. You come, and you come, and you come again, spreading out rope after rope of cum, which she collects in a small flask. She stoppers the flask and puts it away, then takes out a tissue. She cleans up your cock and tucks it back into your pants. You watch it happen detachedly, like she's doing to someone else. Good boy, she coos, and her praise makes you feel warm inside. You did well. You can relax now. Her silky voice is so wonderfully soft and soothing, and you slump back onto the sofa, sinking into the cushions. You are completely spent and exhausted, and you close your eyes. She tells you to open them, and when you do, her medallion is dangling in front of you. An alarm bell goes off in your head, and with some last stray remnant of willpower you didn't know you still had, you manage to force your eyes up towards the ceiling. She laughs. You are really tenacious. You don't like my medallion? Then look into my eyes. The command hits your dazed mind like a truck. Your eyes meet hers, and it feels like you are struck by lightning once again. She's leaning in incredibly close, her brow nearly touching yours, and her eyes are all you see. You know you should look away. You know her command won't let you, but you should at least try. But her eyes are so beautiful, so fascinating. You always thought they were spectacular, but now that you're seeing them from so very close, they are sublime. Defying description, they are simply magical. You can't help but try to take in every last detail. You think she can't make you do it, that you are doing it yourself, that you need to stop, but you just can't help yourself. Her eyes are so fascinating. You realize you are in trouble. You know that you have to. Her eyes, they are incredible. Dimly, you are aware that you are falling, that your mind is sinking away, and you can do anything to stop it. You're not even sure you still want to. You are tired of fighting, tired of trying to resist her, just tired altogether. It's all pointless anyway. You are only delaying the inevitable. She is going to win. You just want to get it all over with, to surrender and give in. Because you are so tired, so drowsy and sleepy. Your eyelids are dropping, but you try to keep them open. You need to keep looking into her eyes. Her lovely voice falls silent for a moment. Then it fills your mind again, and your eyes become impossibly heavy. You fight to keep them open, not wanting to lose sight of her incredible eyes. The same sound fills your mind again, and you finally give in. Your eyes close, and the world floats away. A snap jolts you awake, and you blearily open your eyes, seeing her again. Her hair is wet, and her makeup is gone. It looks like she just got out of the shower. And she is still the most beautiful woman you have ever laid your eyes on. "What did you do to me?" you ask. A smile creeps across her face. "Oh, I made you mine, of course. I have complete control of your mind now. I'm just sorry about how, but don't worry about it. I was never about actually doing something to you. It was about winning, and I did." She looked smug and satisfied. "I know this wasn't what you were expecting to happen, but I'm also quite sure you enjoyed at least part of it. And I haven't had this much fun putting someone under my thumb since I started dabbling in magic. So, if you are willing to let bygones be bygones, I'm willing to try you out. You know, as a friend with benefits. Servant." Gynia Pig, she chuckles. "It is all kind of the same thing, really." She puts a hand on your shoulder and looks at you earnestly. "Don't worry," she says. "I don't want a slave. I want someone who doesn't fold like a wet rag whenever I open my mouth. I want to make you fold when I want you to." She smiles warmly at you, and your stomach does a somersault. "What do you say we give it a shot, the two of us? If we hit it off, we hit it off, and see where it takes us. And if it doesn't go anywhere, we will have a fun time together for a while. I can promise you that.
She looks hopeful.
Tell me, what do you think?
You take a breath to reply, then pause.
That was a command, wasn't it?
And yet, you don't feel that compulsion to answer her like you did before. Some of your surprise must have shown on your face because she speaks up again.
I told you, I'm not interested in a slave, she smirks.
Well, I don't want you to be one all of the time.
Her eyes flash. Just some of the time.
You think about it for a moment. You are pretty sure you are in her thrall, that she could probably make you do and even think anything. But she's asking you what you want. Maybe she's actually being sincere. And frankly, even after everything she did to you, being with her, it still sounds like a dream coming true. Figuring that you have nothing to lose and a lot to gain, you tell her you agree.
Her face lights up.
Ah, I'm so glad I don't always have to use magic to get you to do what I want.
She teases. She winks at you and then kisses you full on the mouth.
You are surprised at first, but then you lean into her kiss. She tastes like honey and strawberries, and the butterflies on your stomach go wild. When your wits have somewhat recovered, you joke that her magic seems suspiciously similar to hypnosis. She just smiles at you for a moment and then changes the subject. You know, you were partially right back at the party.
I was talking bullshit.
I was just looking for someone to call me out on it. To find someone who would challenge me. There's the tiny smile tugging at the corners of her lips again. It's actually aquamarine, which is a great spirit stone. Her face slips into a grin. She watches you closely, waiting for your reaction. This time, you keep your loud mouth shut. Her grin widens. As if I would ever reveal any of the secrets to some random strangers at a party. She chuckles. But as for magic being real, do you think I could do the things I did to you with hypnosis? Surely you must have heard it can't make you do anything you don't want to do. Her smile is almost mocking, and you frown. You realize you don't actually know all that much about it. Before you can consider it further, she leans in close and pins you in place. You smell lavender, and it makes your thoughts scatter. She turns her magnificent eyes on you, and your heart skips a beat.
So, I'm going to ask you again. Do you believe in magic? And in that moment, you do.
Oh, yes, you do. Of course you do.